It was the first independent radio station in Haiti. Radio Haiti was founded by activist and journalist Jean-Léopold Dominique. It was a groundbreaking enterprise and achieved mass popularity by standing up to government corruption and U.S. imperialism. Dominique was assassinated in 2000, and owing to continuing threats of violence, the station disbanded soon after. His murder remains unsolved. However, the archived recordings from Radio Haiti are housed at Duke University and live online. Those recordings are now on stage in a reworked artistic revival of the station. Cellist Layla McCullough, formerly of the Carolina Chocolate Drops, digs into her Haitian-American identity in collaboration with director Kyoko McCrae. Their multimedia performance, Breaking the Thermometer to Hide the Fever, is on stage at the Rubenstein Center at Duke University tonight and tomorrow. And that's at 8 o'clock. It's at on our website as well. And I want to welcome both of you to the State of Things. Great to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Layla, let's talk about language now and your work on this, because you were plowing through the archives then to kind of create this artistic rendition. How long were you going through?
We were all plowing through the archives together. But I was approached in the spring of 2016 about possibly, creating work inspired by the Radio Haiti archive, which had recently been acquired by the Rubenstein Library at Duke. And I think, you know, over the year sort of after that, I did a couple of research trips sitting with archivist Laura Wagner, who was basically translating and cataloging all of these recordings. And I think that that's when I started to realize how wide the scope of Haiti, Radio Haiti's reach was.
Just talk about your connection. You have a Haitian background, but this, one of the virtues of Radio Haiti was that it was in Creole, which was the language of the people. So the word was getting out to the people. This was not the official government radio.
Right.
In Creole, did you have any experience with the language?
My family's from Haiti. Both of my parents emigrated during the Duvalier regime in the 1960s. And I was born in New York, I come from a Haitian family. I've been surrounded by Creole speakers my entire life. I've traveled to Haiti several times, but I'm not entirely fluent, but it's certainly a part of me and a part of my consciousness. And that's just, I think, one of the big takeaways from working with this archive.
And to get a sense of the political importance of this radio station, I want to take a listen to an interview from the archives. It's reworked and it's featured in your performance. Let's listen to this.
By touching on subjects that were never touched before, I think we did manage to expand the scope of what could be talked about. And slowly, in 78, 79, at that time it was the Carter administration. The Carter administration was saying, we give you money to the government. We give you money on one condition, is that there is respect for human rights.
So that's a creative reworking of an interview with Michel Montaz from Radio Haiti's archives at Duke. Part of the station's revival of the state is being revived, actually, in a stage production. The production is called Breaking the Thermometer to Hide the Fever. I'm here with director Kyoko McCrae and performer Layla McCullough. Kyoko, talk about the process of working with this archive to turn it into this production.
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges that we had is how much context building to have in the piece because I think we were realistic that, you know, we're primarily starting at least with an American audience. So how much do you kind of catch up audiences to the political context in which, you know, Radio Haiti was working in? And so that was one challenge, you know, also just trying to tell the story of Radio Haiti, but not feeling like a history lesson, being overly didactic, and really, you know, feeling like I wanted to, from the very beginning, really for the audiences to understand Layla's experience of searching through the archives, and by doing that, really for her experiencing and having this journey of understanding who she is as a Haitian.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting because you have to understand a lot about Haiti's history, or you should, and then about U.S. history, and then about the relationship between the two.
Right.
then you can see the importance of this. Layla, talk about we talked a little bit about the artistic process. What stood out to you as you were listening to the recordings in this archive?
I think what stood out to me was how much history there is that isn't known to both Haitians living today and Americans about Haiti. And, you know, I've been engaged in a lot of my work in trying to uncover some of that. And so this provides a lot of ground. This covers a lot of ground.
I wonder if there's any surprises to you. You talked about coming from, Haitian immigrants. Your parents, they may or may not have talked a lot about living in Haiti, but then you hear this whole new archive. So you had some exposure, and I wonder if sort of a whole new Haiti, revealed itself to you.
Well, I think that what happens is that in our American culture, at least, we have, Haitian culture has been very stigmatized, and so. This, I think, has helped me to understand why that is, and to see more clearly, the complexities of Haitian culture and politics, and also how intertwined it is with American politics.
Oh,
and culture.
Oh, from the start, the first democracy, the first black, first former slave democracy in the Western Hemisphere.
Absolutely.
Which struck terror in the hearts of slave-owning Southern politicians, who then did everything they could to undermine the democracy in Haiti, and undermining democracy had been their project, and maybe is still a project going
right.
on today in the United States of America. So yeah, it goes way back to that.
It resonates very strongly, I think, with a lot of what we see in the world today.
So Kiyoko, at some point you've got to actually make a stage performance out of this. You talked about the
right.
challenges. When did it start coming together for you as a piece?
Yeah, I mean, the way I do a lot of devised theater, where it's very collaborative, and I think we had a lot of the pieces early on with Layla having the freedom to just write music that was based on either songs that she was hearing in the archive or new original music that she was composing that was inspired by the archive. So we had those elements. We did a lot of story sharing, and we talked a lot and recorded Layla just sharing stories, her memories, the things that kind of came to mind first when she, talked about what it meant to be Haitian. So there was a lot of that. And we basically started to piece together a script that was based on sound recordings that were a combination of Layla's stories, phone conversations with her mother, with Michelle Montaz, with the archive, of course. And then we started incorporating dance with the music. And also Sheila's not just a dancer, but an amazing performer. And I mean, I don't know if she would call herself an actor, but I think she certainly is. And a storyteller. So we have a silhouetted, we see her in silhouette in a lot of the show, and just through these kind of everyday movements, telling parts of the story of Radio Haiti. So all these different elements started coming together. But figuring out whether we were going to work chronologically or not was, there was a lot of challenges in kind of figuring out what the arc of the story would be. But we had those pieces to kind of storyboard, if you will.
Right, right. And then mix and match and come up with, I would imagine, whole different frameworks one mm-hmm. after another. Well, let's hear a little bit of what you did decide on, perhaps some of the music featured in the performance, can we?
Sure.
And give us a sense maybe of what it is that we're about to hear and where it fits in the overall production, if you can give us some context.
So this is a song that was introduced to me some years ago. It's called Dodine, which means rocking in Creole, and it's referring to plantation owners rocking on their rocking chair, and this is a song about revolution. A lot of the lyrics say things like, it's us who bake the bread, and it's us who get burned by the oven. It's us who make your beds, and it's us who are sleeping on the floor. And obviously, this isn't sustainable, so we're going to have to get you out of that rocking chair. Thank you.
manger assez nous pour les l'enfant. C'est nous qui faisait nada, c'est nous dormi à tes bagages, c'est la pas capable de travailler diamant. Ramez-y pas nous, c'est good bâtonnier. Mes autres chita soudan, y'a tout dîner mon copain, ou à tout dîner. N'a râlé chez ça, ou à vacasser rien. Tout dîner mon copain, ou à tout dîner. C'est nous qui bœuf devant yo, c'est nous qui les cabouets, c'est nous qui maman poula, c'est nous qu'on doulait, c'est avec si la le police suspend.
Dodiné, performed by Leila McCullough, Sean Myers, and Jeff Pierre on the tambu. And also, that is something that you would hear if you want to go tonight or tomorrow night, to Breaking the Thermometer to Hide the Fever, a performance reviving Radio Haiti. Tonight and tomorrow, 8 o'clock, the Rubenstein Arts Center in Durham. I want to give you a chance to catch your breath, Leila, but I have to ask you what it's like as a member of the diaspora then to actually find yourself in the middle of this now, embodying these songs and singing these songs that maybe up until this project, you know, offered itself, you hadn't considered, or had you?
I mean, for me, it's been a really beautiful sort of coming home. I think that... Yeah, you know, I've always been interested in understanding more deeply my Haitian heritage, understanding my roots, understanding my place, and in sharing this part of myself, especially as an artist. And so, for me, it just adds a dimension, I think, to my body of work that is really helpful in helping me to know how to talk about.
I'm curious about just that. Does it open? What does it open up for you? Or were you surprised at sort of, because you know, an artist can you have a context. You were born in a place. You grew up in a place, and that's plenty of context for an artist in some ways.
That's true.
Did you feel a change, and how did it change you as an artist?
I think it helped me. I mean, Kyoko and I have done a lot of talking about how we tell stories, and you know, the stories that we believe about ourselves, the stories that we believe about the world. And I think that it has helped to complexify that picture. You know, I spoke earlier about, you know, how Haiti has been so stigmatized and really misunderstood. And I think that even for myself, this gives me so many clues about you know, why the world is the way that it is.
Kyoko, talk a little bit about that, the delicate dance that you have to do and the delicate way in which I'm sure you had to handle the material, which is in many cases somebody else's story, and now you're going to try to reprise the story so that it can't have the light of day. There's the virtue, but mm-hmm. but it's in your hands. How do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I feel like art is always political. Everything is political. Even when you think you're creating a piece that's not political, the choices that you make are. So, yeah, every image, every sound, you know, I have to really carefully consider how it's going to be received and, you know, whether or not we are reinforcing those stereotypes or not. And so there's been a whole team behind this work, too. I think, you know, we mentioned Laura Wagner, who is the archivist of Radio Haiti, but also the dramaturg on this, and Laurent Dubois from the university, who was really instrumental both in both of them in considering those things, and, you know, also just working collaboratively with all the artists on this piece, because I'm not Haitian, and, you know, I have to be really careful and check myself too, and the filter that I'm and the lens that I'm looking at this work through.
Tell us about the title, Breaking the Thermometer to Hide the Fever.
Well, that is something that John Dominique, he used it as a way to describe that if you were to get rid of or oppress or get the free press, if the free press is gone, then you're hiding that fever.
Hide the thermometer, right, to disguise. And we talked to you again about Radio Haiti and its impact and how subversive it was just by using the Creole language and providing material and content that people wanted. I want to listen to another interview from the archives that sound designers remixed for this performance to give you a sense of what the folks at Radio Haiti thought about themselves and how they designed the station.
We usually started at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we started with a news show in Creole.
Bonjour. Hold up spectaculaire.
And we had another show at 7 o'clock, which was anchored by Jean-Dominique and by myself, which lasted until 8:30. Then after that, we had the music programs. With a lot of stress on Haitian music and a lot of it on Racine music, music from the countryside. While I was meeting with the newsroom and assigning a task to the newsroom, and we had every day those meetings with discussions about what they would be covering.
That was a creative reworking of an interview with Radio Haiti's former co-director, Michel Montaz, part of the station's revival on stage at Breaking the Thermometer to Hide the Fever. I'm here with director Kiyoko McCrae and performer Layla McCullough. Talking about both the cultural and the political influence of Radio Haiti, it was important. And Kiyoko, I'll put the question to you first. The idea that culture music was also a part of this, it wasn't just documentaries and news, that was in its own way subversive and political, which speaks to the power of art in any culture, I would guess.
Yeah, I think that was what was so brilliant, especially in the earlier days when they had to really be careful and see, you know, gently how much they could push the boundaries of what they were able to talk about. And a lot of the musical and cultural programming was a way to kind of, without explicitly commenting on the Duvalier regime through the choices of songs or even talking about other stories that were happening in the rest of Latin America or in South America, that was a way of them also sort of critiquing the regime.
And a very subversive and subtle effect of knowing that you and thousands of other people like you are listening to this right now. It creates a community in a way that is hard to understand, and certainly for the politicos at the top of the regime, maybe a little too subtle. I wonder if we could you do another song for us, Layla?
Absolutely. So this is a song that I found in the archive. It's a traditional Haitian song, but I found it on a recording of a Haitian classical guitarist named Amos Coulanges, who is still alive and lives in Paris. And this one is a traditional Haitian song called Nonfon Bois, which means in the deep woods. I think one of the things that people, the word Haiti, Haiti, means mountainous land, and it's very beautiful, and I think people don't think of Haiti as a beautiful place enough, so we open the show with this one. Thank you.
L'Enfant Bois, featuring Layla McCullough, Sean Myers, and Jeff Pierre from Breaking the Thermometer to Hide the Fever, a multimedia performance reviving a radical Caribbean news outlet, Radio Haiti. You can see it tonight, tomorrow, 8 o'clock at the Rubenstein Art Center at Duke. I'm here with Layla McCullough and Kiyoko McCray. I'll get it right. Layla McCullough, Kiyoko McCray. Thank you both. Thank you all for being on our program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.